You may be seated, and if you would, turn to your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Now, during this COVID-19 crisis, governmental officials, they have tried to mandate what is essential. But I was in prayer, and God began to talk to me about returning to church in His presence. And as you came in, the marquee outside, it said that, "Welcome back, church is essential." And on my sermon, I was going to talk about God's glory. And Teresa said, "Why don't you name it this? God's glory is essential." So I've got good news. I've heard from God. I've heard from my wife. And God's glory is essential. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap offering of praise. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person. Hallelujah. Now, God is the source of glory. He is the Lord of glory. And when God's glory shows up, miracles happen. And there are steps that you can take that will attract God's glory. I'm reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. The Bible says, "It came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified." Now look at verse 12. "Also the Levites, which were the singers of all them of Asaph, of Hermon, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brothers, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one," hallelujah, "to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted their voices up with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, 'For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever.' Then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord." Can you say it with me? "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." I want you to notice they were assembled together. They were singing, they were praising, and they were worshiping God. And they were doing it with all of their heart. They were gathered together in the house, the temple that Solomon built and he was going to dedicate. Hallelujah. They were doing everything from their heart. These people, they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music. And they praised the Lord just like we've been doing. And they were saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endure forever." And when they did this together, the temple was filled with a cloud. Now look at verse 14. "It was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the temple." Glory to God. I want to preach to you this morning on God's glory is essential. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You're the Lord of glory, the God of glory, Jesus. You're the brightness of God's glory, the expressed image of His person. We are people that are to be filled with Your glory. And Lord, we are the house of the living God, but we are assembled together in the house of worship to worship You and acknowledge You, Father, that You're a great God, that You're a wonderful God, that You're a good God. And we love You from all of our heart. And we want to praise You, Lord. And we thank You for sending down a fresh touch of anointing and glory into this house. Touch Your people and those watching by Facebook Live and listening by Willie Radio. And we praise You and thank You for it. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord, it filled that Old Testament. It was the visible representation of the presence of God. The cloud was the robe in which the glory was wrapped. And the visible presence of God was so strong that the priest could not stand to minister. The glory of God is the miracle working power of God. And we've seen so many miracles in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The glory of God is God's presence. The glory of God is His majesty. It is His miracle working power. It is His splendor. It is His power. It is His love. The glory of God. Hallelujah. And if you want to attract God's glory into your own life, There are some things that we must do. There are some things and some lessons that we can learn from this text that I just read you. Hallelujah. Solomon had finished building the temple. There had been years and years of preparation, and now he was ready to dedicate the temple and to have that temple filled with the glory and the presence of God. The temple was ready. It was complete. But there was one thing that was missing. It had not been filled. Hallelujah. Shakabaya. Glory to God. It had not been filled with the glory of God. Hallelujah. And Solomon knew that you can't just want something and just wait and wish for the glory. He knew there are some things that you must do because nothing comes down until something goes up. I said nothing comes down till something goes up. Let a praise go up right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Glory to God. Solomon built the temple, and he built it so that God's people could assemble and worship together. We built this church. People did, and we remodeled it. So that God's people could come and worship together in the house of God. Do you know that the first freedom we have in America, it is the freedom of worship? Thank God that we're celebrating, you know, Memorial Day weekend and men and women that fought to preserve the freedoms of this country, to preserve our freedoms and our rights. I thought about it. If the malls and the movies and the churches all shut down at the same time, they ought to all be reopened at the same time. Amen. Now, Governor Roy Cooper, the governor of North Carolina, wanted to keep the churches closed today, but that was overruled by a federal judge. Don't forget that on election day, because as a group of people in America, they want to take away your religious rights, your freedoms, and your constitutional rights. Am I to believe that COVID-19 only goes to church? Am I to believe that it does not go to Walmart and to the shopping centers and the grocery stores, but it only goes to church? See, that's a political party, and you better wake up, America, because your religious freedoms and all of your freedoms and your constitutional rights, they are in the balance right now. That's a political party. It is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-church, anti-freedom, anti-Israel, and anti-American. Amen. And that bunch, they want to tell us that we can't go to church safely and practice what we're practicing out there in the culture. And they want to take our religious freedom from us. Now, I'm going to use good common sense. I'm going to use good hygiene techniques, but I'm not going to have a bunch of political elites tell me what I can do and what I can't do. I have freedom. You have freedom. I tell you, this thing's burning inside of me today. Come on, let's get real. Amen. You know, it's time to preach the truth. It's time for somebody with some spine to get up and to lead God's people. Thank God we have a president that has some spine and that will stand up for America. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, coming back to church, there's not one size that fits all every church. We must use our best plans and we must use the guidelines, but we need to move forward. In America, we need to reopen our church. We need to move forward in America. We need to reopen our factories. We need to open those small businesses. We need to wake up, America, and not let a bunch of political hype and news media that never report the truth tell us what we can and cannot do and put fear in our heart. We need to go back to work, and we need to go back to worship. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I have the boldness to stand here today because God said the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former. Hallelujah. Solomon built the former, but God is going to use the church to build the latter. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. And there are some things in this text that we must do if we're going to attract God's glory. Number one. See, God's glory is essential. But the first thing is, number one, holy living attracts God's glory. Let me say that again. Holy living attracts God's glory. 2 Chronicles 5:11. It came to pass when the priests would come out of the holy place. For all the priests that were present were sanctified. I'm looking for it on the screen. 2 Chronicles 5 and 11. Just pop it up there. God's glory filled the temple when all the priests were sanctified. That brought the glory. All the priests that were present were sanctified. Now that word sanctified, it means to set apart for God's purposes. Hallelujah. It means that we are different, church. It means that there's a notable difference in our lifestyle, in our conversation, and in the way we live. We have renounced the unfruitful works of darkness. We have said, I don't want that lifestyle anymore. I'm not going to sleep around. I'm laying down the old habits, my cigarettes, my booze, and I'm picking up the Bible. Hallelujah. I'm not going back to the clubs. I'm not hanging out with that wrong crowd. I am through with all of that. There's been a change in this life of mine since the Lord laid his hands on me. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. There's been a change in this life of mine since the Lord laid his hand on me. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. You see, I have experienced God's glory. And I'm going to do everything that I can to retain the glory and to attract God's glory into my life. I've been saved. Have you been saved? I've been sanctified. I've been washed in the blood. You've been washed in the blood. You've been sanctified. We're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has perfected forever those that are sanctified. You just got to come to the knowledge of it. Hallelujah. And I and you, you and I, we have been set apart for God's glory. Hallelujah. This is a great salvation, church. Now, in the Old Testament, there were a lot of tents. But there was one tent that God said, that tent is set apart for my purposes. He said, that tent will be the tent where my presence and my glory will show up. Now, we know in the New Testament that we're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll walk in them, I'll dwell in them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. But at the same time, you got to know something. We're the temple, but we build a place to worship. Hallelujah. God said that tent will be the tent in the Old Testament where my presence and my glory will show up. There were a lot of altars, but God said that one altar shall be set apart for my altar. There were a lot of tables and candlesticks, but he said those are for me. Can you see the picture? There were a lot of lambs and bullocks, tens of thousands of them. But certain ones of them, they had been set apart for God's glory. Woo! There were days that he set apart, such as the Sabbath. And that was the Day of Atonement. He set those apart for his purposes. That was the tithe that was to be set apart from the rest of the money. Because the tithe was holy unto the Lord. And when you pay your tithe, you know something? That puts God's sanctification on the rest of your money and is set aside for God's purposes and you to be a good steward of the things God puts in your hand. This building right here, it is sanctified and set apart as a place of worship for God's purpose. And that reason for that, it is to provide a place for God's people and for sinners to come and to experience the glory and the presence of God. Holy living will attract God's glory. God wants a holy people. Now, if you would put it up, 1 Peter 2 and 9. 1 Peter 2 and 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 and 9. Look at it again. You are chosen. You're a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You're sanctified, set apart unto God. Hallelujah. You're peculiar people. We're just different. We don't go to the clubs. We don't shack up and sleep around. And if you're doing that, repent and never do it again. If you're doing that, get married and get your lifestyle right. We want to attract God's glory into this place. Hallelujah. Woo! See, holy living attracts God's glory. We have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. And we are a holy people unto God. Secondly, prayer will attract God's glory. Did you know that prayer will change your whole world? It changed your world when you got saved, didn't it? But listen to me. Look at how Solomon prayed when he dedicated the temple. Look at this, 2 Chronicles 6:40. 2 Chronicles 6:40. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thy ears be attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Oh God, will you do that at Westmoreland? Will you do that here for us, Lord? You did it in that Old Testament tabernacle. Do it here, Lord. Let me ask you, church, do you want the presence of God in your life? Then you've got to pray. If you would just pray and read your Bible and seek God's face, you would be amazed at how strong God's presence would be in your life. So I encourage you, pray every day. Talk to God. I encourage you, read your Bible every day and listen to what God says. Make prayer a lifestyle. Pray when you wake up. Pray when you're in the shower. Pray when you're getting dressed. Pray when you walk. Pray when you jog. Pray when you're in your car. Pray when you get back to work. Have a constant attitude of prayer in your life. Jesus said, pray without ceasing. Because if you will pray and seek God, then God will show up in your life and show off. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. Pray and God will show up big in your life. And if you don't pray, guess what? God will not show up big in your life. I want God to show up big in my life. I want God to show up big in this church. So pray when you don't have a need. Some people, all they ever do is pray what I call foxhole prayers. I got a need, I got a need, I got a need. Well, pray when you don't have a need. Store up some prayers. I mean, I preach sermons about the golden prayer bowls that are in heaven. Did you hear it at all? My Lord, pray, pray, pray. Become a prayer warrior. And I promise you something. When the battles of life come, you will be able to stand and see the glory and the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Pray and store up some prayers. Glory to God. Holy living and prayer, those two things attract God's glory. Thirdly, worship attracts God's glory. God's glory is essential, church. Hallelujah. I want this church to be on the cutting edge of the greatest revival that's ever hit this state and this nation. God's ready to do it. 2 Chronicles 5:13. 2 Chronicles 5:13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers was one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord. Woo! Glory. They were assembled together, just like we are. They were singing, and they were praising God, just like we've been doing. The 120 priests, they were blowing their trumpets. The people were singing, and they became as one, and they worshiped God together. Woo! I said, come on, praise God. They worship God together. My God, it's time to get excited about. I didn't come to just preach a message. I come to make a cultural shift and to get the church to wake up in Jesus' name. I'm not about preaching messages. I got 1,400 of them if I just wanted to preach a message. I worked and worked and worked and prayed and prayed and prayed to come bring you a word from God, to bring the church world a word from God, to bring this state and the nation a word from God. Hallelujah. There must be a restoration of spiritual worship in the body of Christ if we're going to attract God's glory. Worship, my friend, will attract the deeper things of God and the presence of God and the miracle working power of God. They weren't just making noise when they dedicated that temple. They were there with a purpose. I believe you came to church today with a purpose. I believe you purpose in your heart. I'm going to be there as soon as the doors open. If I can get there, I'm going, and I'm going with a purpose. Hallelujah. They were singing. They were worshiping. They were lifting up their hearts and their voices to God, and it was coming from their hearts. You know, I thought about it. A drunk can praise God, but only a holy vessel can worship God, because God is a spirit, and we have to worship God the way God ordained, in spirit and in truth. Get sin out of your life. I'm going to preach about sin a little while. Don't you know the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither fornicators, that's sleeping around. Adulterers, that's a terrible sin. Did you notice the first two things God mentions there of the body? Then he says effeminates, that's homosexuals and lesbians. This world is trying to get us to accept alternative lifestyles. No! Praise God, we've got the Word of God. God's way is right. God is not wrong. The world out there is wrong. The culture is wrong. And it's time for us to rise up, praise God, come back to the house of God, come with our purpose, come with our heart set upon God, and let's change that world out there and bring them into the kingdom of God. Woo! So learn to worship God, which brings me to my fourth point. Sacrifice attracts the glory of God. Sacrifice attracts the glory of God. When you approach God with a sacrifice, God knows that you're serious. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Learn to worship God with a sacrifice. Give God something that is important to you, because the greater your sacrifice, the greater the blessing will be. I help people. And sometimes I ask them, will you do this for me? Will you just help me with this? And you know what? After I've spent all of my time and my energies, and they just look at it like I didn't even ask. Yet I have helped them and helped them and helped them and helped them. And people like that, they don't make a sacrifice. You know, it'll take something to do what we did in this place. Brother Philip, we sacrificed. Brother Baker, you sacrificed. Singers, you sacrificed. We sacrificed to bring church to you today. We came in here, prayed over this place, separated all these chairs. We did that. We didn't just show up today. We made a sacrifice. Praise God. And the greater your sacrifice, the greater your blessing will be. I ask individuals a whole lot younger than me just to do something. I don't mind preaching it. I don't mind telling him he should have done it. He just didn't want to be inconvenienced. Yet the next time they have a need, they'll want to inconvenience me. Sacrifice something. Sacrifice something. I'm not mean. I'm just preaching truth. My wife's squirming up there right now because of the way I'm preaching. But I'm going to preach the truth, praise God. I didn't come to pacify somebody. I come to raise up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ so we can bring in the glory. Hallelujah. Keep a sacrifice on the altar, and God will fight your battles for you. You need a sacrifice. I need a sacrifice. Now, when Pharaoh finally let God's people, he said, leave the cattle behind. Leave the cattle behind. See, those cattle, they were the thing that the Israelites used to worship God. Moses said, we're going to leave, but we will not leave one foot hoof print behind. Moses knew you must have a sacrifice if you're going to worship God and activate the favor of God. Listen to me, church. Pharaoh does not tell God's people how and where to worship God. God defines how we should worship, and God defines where we should worship. He has a plan, and he has a will for his church. And I'm not going to be driven by people that consider themselves to be some social, political elite that can take my constitutional rights away and take yours away and tell us what to do. They don't tell us how to worship. God tells us how to worship. Listen to me. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more church we should have and not less church. Let me say that again. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more church we should be having and not less church. God tells us how to worship and nobody else. You know, I called Brother Philip Pearson because I didn't have a resource for it. But the word church in the Greek is ecclesia, which means an assembly of people gathered together for worship in a religious setting. I had Brother Philip look that up. I want to make sure I was right. thought I was right, but he confirmed it. Ecclesia, which means an assembly of people together for worship in a religious meeting. Isn't that powerful? See, we have live stream and we have Facebook. We got Willie Radio for people who can't come to church, not for people who can come to church. If I'm stepping on your toes, I'm not sorry. I'm preaching the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have Facebook for people who cannot come to church so we can get the gospel out there. But the TV and Facebook, that is not the place where you worship. You come to the house of God with people of like precious faith, and that's where we worship. The rather is for people who cannot get to church. So we need to make a cultural shift, church. Hallelujah. And God tells us how, and God tells us where, and God tells us who we should worship. Look at this, Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Do you see that? As the manner of some is. Some people are doing that. But exhorting one another. And look at this, and so much the more. Not less church, more church. So much the more as you see the day approaching. That means that the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more church we should be having and not less church. Learn to sacrifice. Learn to worship God. Don't lose your sacrifice. The worship experience, it began when they put the sacrifice on the altar. And after that was when the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. But what about all the preparation? You know, somebody had to prepare that sacrifice. Thank you so much, everybody, to help prepare this place. Somebody had to chase that thing down. They had to prepare it. They had to chase the goat down. Amen. Somebody had to pluck the dove's feathers. Somebody had to slaughter those animals. They didn't just come in and say, I hope God shows up. Oh, no. It was preparation. Major preparation for worship. And church, we need to make a cultural shift. I'm not sure if that's a term that's unique to what I say or not. I don't hear anybody else making that. We need to make a cultural shift. We need to get back to the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to prepare our hearts for worship. Listen to me. We've got to lay aside all the weights. The ball game. The car races. The golf tournaments. The sporting events and such the like. We've got to make a cultural shift. And we have got back to get back to the house of God. Make it the Lord's day and not the Lord's hour. I know I'm preaching to people that want church. So I can go and preach this thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, you cannot fill your mind with the filth of this world and be prepared for holy worship. You cannot gratify your flesh and the demands of your flesh and think you're going to come to church and be prepared for worship. You cannot hang out in the clubs on Saturday night and be prepared for worship on Sunday morning. You've got to prepare your heart for worship. You've got to live holy. You've got to pray. You've got to seek God. You've got to prepare your heart for worship. You don't just show up on and say, move me, like a lot of people do. It took hours and hours to prepare one sacrifice in that Old Testament assembly. What if the church prayed? What if the church prayed and sought God all week? What if they said in their prayer, I am going to the house of God. I'm going there when the church doors open, and I'm going to show up. Woo! I'm going to church. And God's presence is going to be in that place because I have offered him a sacrifice of praise all week long. Hallelujah. I didn't just come to church to dance. Praise God. I dance at home. I shout at home. I praise God at home. I feel a little better doing it here. Praise God because of the corporate anointing. David's wife despised him because she danced. He said, I didn't do it for you. I did it for him. Hallelujah. Here's a king that stripped off everything. Some preachers are so dignified and they're so sanctified and so petrified, they can't get free. But praise God, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. I am free, free, free. I am free, free, free. Jesus broke the chains that bound me. I am free. Life has meaning now for me. I've been given liberty by the precious blood of Jesus. I'm living. I am free. Woo! Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Just the pants, I believe you had one of those benefits this morning. Hallelujah. People say, you had one of those churches that had those fits? I said, no, we call them benefits. Hallelujah. Come on. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. See, God is trying to work His, wake His church up. And let me tell you something. COVID-19 was a wake-up call.
Yes.
Here's what the church needs to see. Because the signs and the indicators are we are in the last days. And there's a bunch of political elites who want to do contact tracing. They want to know where you are all the time. They want to do mandated vaccines and force you to take a vaccine. They want a list of who comes to church. Not on my watch. I would defy them and say, you're not getting it from Westmoreland. I'm not afraid of that bunch of people. If God don't back me up, praise God, I'll be in big trouble. Because I got a spine and I'm going to stand up for what's mine. And God gave me freedom and God gave me liberty. And now I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! God's trying to wake His church up. We're in the last days, the Laodicean spirit, and a spirit of slumber has gripped the church. And God sent me to wake some of us up. Hallelujah. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. They went out to meet the bridegroom. The foolish, they took their lamps and took no oil. The wise, they took their lamps and they took oil with them. At midnight, the cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Now, here's what the church needs to see. At midnight, the cry was made. So the midnight cry was made to awaken the church. Do you see that? It's the midnight cry was made to awaken the church, which was asleep. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, we don't know the time, but we do know the signs of the time. We do know the seasons, and we do know that the indicators are pointing to the coming of the Lord. At midnight, the cry was made saying, wake up! And the script, this scripture right here that I'm fixing to read, it is the key to where we are living on God's prophetic calendar. I said, this one scripture right here, it is the key to where we are living on God's prophetic calendar. Matthew 25 and 5. Look at it. Matthew 25 and 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. The wise and the foolish virgins. The church, those with the virgin spirit, they all slept and slumbered. Isn't that amazing? It's dark in America, church. Let me preach a little while. When a young girl can go to an abortion clinic, she can go and get that abortion, kill that little baby, and yet we can't come to church.
Amen.
Let's get real. It's dark in America.
Yes.
When a drunk can go down to the liquor store.
Yes.
And he can buy his booze, yet we can't come to church.
Come on,
let's get real.
Yes.
See, the Lord does not come at midnight for His church. He gives a cry to the world out there that is not ready. He's giving a cry to the world. And then the five that had oil in their lamps, He gives them a warning saying, wake up, get out of your slumber, come out of that sleep. The bridegroom is coming. Prepare you to meet Him. See, I thought about God. God is so good to us. I thought about how good He's been to me, but how good He has been to this nation. And this was Memorial Day weekend. And we got Him at the beach, COVID-19.
That's right.
We got Him in the shopping centers, COVID-19.
Come on, preach it now.
We got Him in the malls. We got Him in the liquor stores. Let's just tell it like it is.
Go ahead.
COVID-19. Yeah, we can't come to church and worship God and practice good hygiene and social distances and be safe in church. Are you kidding me? Dear God. See, I'm urging the church to wake up. See, God has not given up on America.
That's right.
He has given us a president, Donald J. Trump,
yes,
that has done more for this nation and more for Israel and more for the church than any other individual or president in modern history. I urge the church, wake up and cast your vote on the right side and give Donald Trump, our president, 4 more years,
yes,
so we can gather the end time harvest. You know, even the students on the college campuses, they're beginning to realize that their rights have been taken from them, and they were wanting socialism, and, oh, we want that and give everything away. Now they're realizing that the government has been infringing on their rights, and a shift is coming out there on the college campuses. They're going to rebel and say, you're not forcing socialism. They're going to go back and tell some of those professors, you idiot. You tried to take our stuff when during COVID-19. We're not doing that. You're not here to teach us. We're here to teach you something. Praise God. Go and worship God and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, they're waking up. The world out there is beginning to wake up. Don't you think the church should wake up?
Amen.
Well, I know I'm preaching a long time. It's 11:58. Unity, fifthly, attracts the glory. According to our text, the people became as one. Unity will attract the glory of God. The musicians became as one. The singers became as one. The people became as one. It wasn't just a bunch of musicians up there doing their own thing. No, they gathered together as one. You know, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. So when I was preparing this sermon, I said, I think I'll just save that one on unity for next Sunday. Because in Acts 2, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And what did they do? They went out of that place and they began to preach Jesus. What am I doing today? I'm preaching Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They went out and turned their world upside down, and that was the former rain. Amen. But guess what? Unity brought the victory, and unity brought the glory. So I ask you, are you hungry for more of God or for just more religion?
Come on.
Are you hungry for more of God or just for more religion?
Yes.
God's glory is available, but it begins with sanctification. And then prayer. Then it moves into the aspect of worship and sacrifice. And then it is unity. God's glory belongs to the church. I close with this. God said that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. I just read you from my text, the glory of the former house. And God's presence was so strong that they could not even stand to minister. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. The Bible says that, and it will be, because God has promised to pour out the former rain and the latter rain in the same season. Jesus, the head of his church, he's given us his word. He is the brightness of God's glory. He is the expressed image of his person. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And he went to an old rugged cross, and he gave his precious blood to redeem you and me. We are bought, church. Let's make a cultural shift. Let's become the church God has called us to be. I promise you, if you will come, I promise you out there, if you will come, I will seek God. I will pray, and I will come with fresh manna, and I will set it on your plate for you to eat. God wants to wake us up. Let us all stand. Hallelujah. Prepare our hearts for end-time revival, and get ready, because the bridegroom is coming. The best is yet to come. God promised us restoration.
Yes.
And he's going to restore some things. Let us worship. Pastor
you deserve
Ricky.
The glory and the honor.
12:02, let's stay in worship.
Our hands in worship.
Let's make a cultural shift.
As we lift your holy name.
I got places to go, but nothing's more important than right now. I love you, Jesus.
And the honor.
Thank you so much for shining your light up in my life.
We lift.
Thank you so much, God, for calling me.
As
oh, God, give me a greater heart for the harvest.
Name.
Give me a greater love for your people.
Great.
Let
you
me see with your eyes.
Feel
with your compassion.
There is no
and minister in your power.
Like you.
And minister in your glory.
There is no one else.
No one like you, Jesus.
You are great.
You do miracles so great.
There is no one else like you. There is no one else.
We give you glory,
like
Lord.
You.
We give you honor.